On the human chessboard, all moves are possible. This is Dr. Herbert L. Varley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with the thought for today. On the human chessboard, all moves are possible, said Miriam Schiff. What does that mean? On the human chessboard, all moves are possible. Well, in the game of chess, in the game of life, we can do anything we want to do. Some people say, well, I could never be a prince. Well, you could be a prince, but you could never be a prince because you say you can never be a prince. It's not that you couldn't be a prince, not that you're not a prince. It's that you say you cannot be a prince, that you will never be a prince. You will never be whatever you say you'll never be. And even though you are what you are, you will never be it because you say you'll never be it. We have seen a lot of movies in which the prince doesn't want to be a prince. He doesn't want to be king. He doesn't want to take the responsibility of the throne. Usually he's the only son. Yeah, he's the one that's going to do it. Yeah, it's not like in England now where they have several who are, you know, heir to the throne in order. But anyhow, they don't want to be king. They don't want to be king. They want to be just an ordinary person. And the ordinary person, he wants to be king. We always want to be what we feel that we are not. Now, how many kings do you know? Well, I would say that everybody I know is a king. They are king of their life, doing exactly what they want to do, making exactly the moves on the chessboard of life that they want to move in exactly the way they want to do it. Sometimes you say, well, why do we have these problems? Why do we have these burdens that overload us? Our child is imperfect, you know, and needs special attention. Or our husband or wife is abusive to us. Or our job is fantastic. We are the most delighted people in the world because our job is so wonderful. And it can have to be the other way, too, you know. It doesn't have to be just the negative. It could be the positive. Your job is just too good to be true. And then your boss comes up to you and says, hey, how about going to bed with me? And you say, I love my job. I want my job. I want to grow in my job. Do I have to do this to keep my job? If I do, oh, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. You don't know what to do, you jerk. You always know what to do. You do what's right for you. If going to bed with your boss is what you want to do, go. If it's not what you want to do, don't. If you lose your job, so what? You stood up for your principle. You see, your principle is not somebody else's principle. Everybody has principles, and the principles are, what do you believe is right for you? You understand that? That's the chessboard of life. That's not judgment. That's not looking at moralism and saying this is moral and this is immoral. You can't do that. You can't do that. Everyone has to have their own understanding of these things. The federal law of the United States, I just mentioned it to you the other day, had a ruling. There are so many different religions represented in the United States. Some religions allow certain things and other religions don't. Well, some religions allow homosexuality and others don't. And so the Supreme Court said, we cannot have a law that is prescriptive only to one religion. We have to have a law that's universal. So therefore, whatever is the desire of an individual, that's their business, as long as it hurts none, takes none, and doesn't affect, you're not violating another's right. And so they passed that law. I think there were seven jurists, and five or six of them, you know, passed it. It was a high passing. And a lot of people were very objectionable to it because they're very Christian or they're very whatever other religion they might be, which might disagree with that. And because of their religion disagreeing, they disagree, which is what they should do. I mean, our religion should be our guide. Our religion should be whatever it is we believe, and we should believe it 100%. People come to me and they say, oh, I was a Catholic. I was this. I was that. And I said, well, you're studying our philosophy now. Yep. Oh, I can't stand the Catholic Church. I said, are you crazy? I said, the Catholic Church is what brought you to where you are today. And if you had been 100% better Catholic than you were, you would never have even been ready for this religion, for this philosophy, for this way of thinking. Because if you are a good Catholic, you would read the Bible, you would know the Bible, you would study it. If you're a good Catholic, you'd follow the rules of the church, you'd be so fantastic that you'd be amazing, just amazing. And when you come to this philosophy, you say, well, this is what I want, this is what I want. The Catholics teach this too. They don't know they teach this, but they teach this too. You know why the Catholics teach what we teach? Because they teach the teachings of Jesus. Not quite the same way we do, but they teach the teachings of Jesus. Now, why did you go there in the first place? Why did you become a Mormon? Why did you become a religious scientist? Why did you become a Jew? Why did you become any of these things? None of them are bad, for goodness sakes, no. All of them are where we are in consciousness when we enter into it. If you enter into God Unlimited, you're entering into it because that's where you are in consciousness right now. And who knows, a year from now, you may get a deeper, broader insight and move into some other philosophy, some other way of thinking. Taking what you have gained into your new way of thinking. On the chessboard of life, you make many changes. If you're playing chess and you don't move, they say that one's dead. But in the chessboard of life, it's constantly moving, constantly making challenges, being challenged, being checked, being this and that. It's a constant activity, and it's a wonderful activity. But if you don't want to move, you know, I was thinking, here at the monastery, at the university now, we're calling it the university, the school of the master, because the monastery has seemed to be so tough on people. It required too much out of them. They had to be divine. They had to live according to the philosophy that they chose to live by, and they aren't really too excited about that. They want to live by it, but they don't want to be reminded of it every minute. Okay. So we call it the School of the Master, which is really tough too. And I was reading in Business Week magazine how many people, when they retire, they move on into other areas of life that demand great things of them and excite them. And I don't think we should have a retirement center up here. But wouldn't it be interesting if we would have some of these youthful retirees entering into this philosophy, entering into this school, helping to run and organize this activity up here, wouldn't that be interesting? Now, you see, you can retire at 50, you can retire at 60, you can retire at 70,
40.
At 40, that's
Marine.
True. Huh? Yeah, in the services, you... as your life servicer, you retire at 40, then you have a pension, and money is not a problem to you, unless you have great desires for spending money. But you see, that would be a beautiful thing. That'd be a beautiful thing. A lot of people who come here, they come here because they say they don't have money, and they don't have the wherewithal to handle their needs, and it's very fascinating. Very fascinating. It's as though people say that we should support them on their spiritual journey. First, everyone has to support themselves on their spiritual journey. The first step of a thousand miles.
Begins with one step.
With the first step. The journey of a thousand miles begins with the first step. Yeah, Lao Tse. So the journey of a thousand miles begins with the first step. So it is with your journey into your spiritual understanding of yourself. It begins with the first step. And you have to make that first step. If someone takes your hand and pulls you, you haven't made that first step. If someone gets behind you and kicks you, you haven't made that first step. A lot of times, I was talking to a man just yesterday. He's a fine man, beautiful attitude, great being, but he was telling us that he's separated from his wife, and she's remarried and has children, and all of his children from his first wife are moving in back home with him. And I presume most of them are adults. And some of them have children. And so they're bringing their families with them and moving in with Daddy. And he feels quite good about it. He feels, I'm loved, I'm wanted, you know, I'm needed. And what is he doing? He's being a crutch for them to keep them from standing on their own feet, doing their own thing. He's not a bad man. He's a very normal, wonderful, actually a fabulous being. But he is being a crutch for his children. His children will never learn to walk alone. He's like taking his 20-year-old son and carrying him around the house so he doesn't have to walk, you know? That doesn't help the son develop his muscles. We've heard of a lot of people who have had tremendous accidents, falling out of airplanes and so forth, and plutch on the ground, you know. They're all busted up. Doctors put them back together again. What an interesting chess game that would be. Put them back together again beautifully. And then the doctor says, well, you'll never walk, and you'll never do this, and you'll never do that. Well, the guy says to himself, I want to walk. So every night he would pull himself, crawl over to the gymnasium across the street from his ward, and he'd work out when no one was around. And then he'd crawl back to his bed, exhausted. The next day he'd do the same thing. He did that for weeks. And little by little, he regained all of the functions of his body. He wasn't perfect as he could be, but he was good for having them say, you're not going to walk again. So then what did he do? He said, all right, I'm going to get into the Olympics. Not the handicapped Olympics, but the Olympics. And he did. But he fell out of an airplane, his parachute didn't open, and he bumped into the ground, and they thought, that's the end of him. But he was still there. He had the desire to live, and by pulling himself, by exercising himself, by rehabilitating himself, he was able to be a marathon runner. When we help our children to such a degree that they don't stand on their own feet, they'll never be able to do the great things that they're potentially able to do. And they never will want to, because as long as they got mommy to lean on, or daddy to lean on, or the boss to lean on. So some people are so proud, they run to the boss with everything. Hey boss, what do I do next? Hey boss, how do I handle this? Hey boss, what's up? And the boss says, oh my God, get that guy out of here. I'm happy he's so eager, but I want a self-starter. I want someone who doesn't ask me, hey boss, what room should I sweep next? They're all to be done, you know. And they become dependent on their boss. They become dependent on their superior to have every question asked. But in the chessboard of life, you learn how to move carefully, how to do all things beautifully. You think into what you're doing. I'm not trying to tell you that you shouldn't live in the now. You definitely should live in the now. But how is this going to affect your thinking when you do whatever you do? How is it going to affect your thought, your ideal, your way of being? That's the big thing. So, on the human chessboard, all moves are possible. On the human life, all moves are not only possible, but they are reality. And when you are ready for any move at all, whether you are ready to be a prince or to be a princess, to be a king, to be a queen, to be a happy person, how about that? Just to be a happy person. When you're ready for that, every door opens for you to have happiness. Every door opens for you to be a king. Now, whoever thought, what was her name? She married the Prince of Monaco.
Grace Kelly.
Grace Kelly. Who ever thought Grace Kelly as a little girl would become a princess? There's nothing princess about her. She's a princess girl. She's lovely, great, talented. So, but whoever thought she'd be a princess, even into her adult years, whoever thought she'd be a princess, a live, real, bona fide princess, you know? No one. But she lived her life with such beauty, with such regalness, with such royalty. She had to be, eventually, if not immediately, a princess. And she was a princess, wasn't she? A super American-born girl with no heritage, no background, no princely whatever. They probably could dig deep enough, and you could do that with most anybody, and you come up with some royalty in the background, you know. But she married the Prince of Monaco, lived happily ever after. She had an accident later after her children were grown and so forth. And, but that's life, isn't it? That's the change of activity. Why do you think she had the accident? Let's just play with that a second. What? Any thoughts about it?
She wanted to go.
She was sticking her nose in her daughter's business and beginning to be concerned about how their lives were running instead of letting them be free. And just like she wanted to be free. But now, we're a princess, but this is a royal family. You know, we have to do these things in a royal way. And she forgot. She forgot the innocent princess that she was. She was still a lovely princess, still a lovely woman, super in every way. But she forgot. And when you forget, be careful. You can shorten your life very, very wonderfully. Now, why do you think her life was shortened? Did her daughters perhaps say, "Mama, get off my back"? Yeah, quite likely. And did the daughter ever think to herself, "Oh, Mama, drop dead. You know, you're demanding too much"? They loved their mom. But that didn't mean that they couldn't say such silly things. And the silly things like that are said. And those two are the chessboard of life. Be very careful where you stick your nose. Do you want people to say of you, "Oh, that's a lovely person. They're wonderful. They're thoughtful. They're good"? Or do you want people to say of you, "Oh, that's a nosy person. They're always sticking their nose in my business. They're always trying to tell me what to do. I wish they'd get lost. I don't really want to see them anymore in my life. I don't want to see them." And that sort of a elimination, dismissal of them in your life could mean the end for them too. Because you're their creator. Where's Grace Kelly right now? In another dimension, probably.
Dimension.
What's that, please?
In another dimension.
In another dimension. And is she dead?
There is no death.
No, there is no death. So was that so terrible that she left her princess dumb and went on into the next? No, she didn't have to. If she would have just maintained her own business, she would have never had the problem. She'd never have the problem. You too, when you maintain your own business, your own direction, your own life, your own values for yourself, you'll never have any problem. Your life should be the standard for others. Your life should not be the control of others. When your life is the standard for others, others will look at you and say, "Wow." But when your life is the control of others, others will look at you and say, "Get lost." Now, how would you like to have others look at you? Then be that standard. Every one of you here, every one of you, is a master right now. Every one of you is a standard bearer of what you believe. And whatever it is you believe, it stands out so vibrantly, so brilliantly, so, I don't want to say violently, but violently, from your being, that all the world knows exactly where you stand. So be careful. Be careful. I expect that we'll probably have 5 or 6 young people working here in the near future as part of our staff. So watch for it. Put that in your consciousness. They'll be wonderful students, wonderful beings. They'll be interested in all the things we're doing here at the University of Healing and the University of Philosophy and the School of the Master. Just watch. They'll be here. And they'll be a lot of fun to work with, because they will be so innocent that you old hands in talking to them won't offend them in the slightest, because they know who they are. And they'll do their own thing untouched by the wisdom you want to offer them on how to properly do their job. So think of these things and watch the miracles come to pass in your life as you play the chess game of life. And it's a lot of fun. Enjoy that, because I certainly enjoy it. And I am with you at all times. I love you.
Thank you.
I love you. I love you.